Good afternoon. I will apologize ahead of time. I did not get the record button pushed in time this morning, so if you're wanting to listen to my sermon again this morning, I apologize because it won't be there. This one is going. No. Thank you for coming back this afternoon. And Brother Larry gave me an idea for a sermon a couple weeks ago. And it discussed the parallels between Joseph and Jesus. We just went through the book of Genesis on Wednesday night, thanks to Daryl teaching that class, and really thank him for that. And we saw all of the things that Joseph had went through during his lifetime. And when we think about Jesus, there are so many parallels that can be drawn between the two of them. The story of Joseph and his coat of many colors is very popular, very well known, and I think the kids relate to that because that's one of the two stories that are taught when they're so young. And then when we try to relate some of these things to Jesus to make that correlation, I think it's very important to understand that we can do this, and all in the same process of keeping in mind that why was Joseph and Jesus so closely related in some of these things? Because of God, because of God's great sovereignty, his supreme power to control his creation. You might appear as if Jesus thought Joseph was his hero and wanted to mimic everything that he went through, although Joseph and Jesus alike didn't experience some very good things. There were a lot of things that they went through that were very, very bad, painful situations and experiences. But what did both of them get out of it? What was their attitude looking back at it? If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 50, we'll read there verse 20. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, this is Joseph's, the way he felt and with all these things happening. It says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Joseph knew he was suffering for God's sake, for the ultimate plan, and was okay with that. There's a parallel we'll draw with Jesus in the same instance. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, there in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Jesus knew that what he was going through was for good and was necessary. You might say they were both optimistic. They both looked at the positive side of what they were experiencing. Had they been a little pessimist, they probably, you know, it wouldn't have come off as being as a good thing. They would have been complaining. They would have been putting themselves before God. But as we can see, Joseph and Jesus both were selfless people. They sacrificed self for the good of others. And so for this sermon this afternoon, I'm going to pull out some parallels between Joseph and Jesus to compare. But all the time, be thinking that this was because God was in control. God is all powerful. He was in control. But we can learn a lot from these comparisons that we'll draw and take a look at. When you look at the design, the way that God controlled the original part of the Bible, the Old Testament, and even the New Testament, you see the way he used Joseph for good. You see the way he used Christ for good. You can kind of see a pattern here, similar to what you would do if you saw like an architect for a house. There's certain key features they put into their design. A painter, Some of these painting experts can recognize a painting, the artist, by how the painting is put together. And I think you see here that God has a fingerprint on this and his design as how he's using these people for good. All right, so the first one we want to take a look at is the relationship with their father. So if we turn over to Genesis chapter 37, we'll see the relationship that Joseph had with his father. And again, this is somewhat of a review if you've been here on Wednesday nights. So Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 and 4. And if you want to put your ribbon marker there in Genesis, we'll go back and forth to that quite a bit, between there and Matthew and some others, but mainly between Genesis and Matthew. So Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 and 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So we see there that Joseph was loved so much by his father that he had this coat that was made for him. And it caused jealousy amongst his brothers. When Jesus was baptized by John, he received a similar message of fatherly approval. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 3, and there in verse 17, we see the well-known quote that it said, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." God was very proud of Jesus at this moment. He was baptized. He was leading by example. And we see where scriptures tells us that this was approved. So they were both had a wonderful relationship with their father. They both were loved by their fathers. Joseph was, as scripture would say, like a root out of dry ground. We looked at that not too long ago. A symbol of new life in his father's old age. This was very, to the men of this time, it was unfounded that they would be having children at older ages, and it was a blessing. And so he loved Joseph for that. This was a symbol of new life for him. When we look at the baptism of Jesus, it was a symbol of new life, just as our baptism is also a symbol of new life. So these parallels show us that our actions are recognized. Likewise, they were in the Old Testament as in the New Testament and even today. So Jesus and Joseph both were hated, despised, and humiliated. Because of Joseph's father's actions towards him, his favoritism, his brothers didn't treat him very well. They hated him, they were remorseful, they were jealous, they were violent towards him. They stole his coat right off of his back. They threw him in a pit, and then they sold him off to strangers. In Genesis chapter 37, we see this story where Joseph is mistreated by his brothers. They are not nice to him. They're jealous of him. They want to get rid of him. So they make a plan. They were going to kill him, and then that got changed. But instead, he gets sold. So in Genesis 37, there in verse 23 through 27, we read here this story. It says, "So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh.' And his brothers listened." So they rationalized that he was their brother and they didn't want to hurt him, but yet they didn't want him around. So they made a plan to sell him. But all the while, this was people who Joseph thought loved him, who should have loved him. They were family. But instead, they were jealous and They just seek to remove him from their lives. Now let's draw this parallel with Jesus. Jesus, having done nothing wrong, he walked upon this earth sinless. Having done nothing wrong, was delivered right into the hands of Pilate, just so he would then be beaten. He would be mocked. He would be crucified. And he too was stripped of his clothing. So turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, there in verse 28. Matthew chapter 27, verse 28. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. So they take his clothes and give him a robe. And then we see later, where in John chapter 19, after his crucifixion, that his garments are casted into lots. They were seeing who would be able to keep them. So just like Joseph, Jesus' clothes were stripped of him. They were taken from him. He would also be thrown into a type of pit, so to speak. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, we see that he's put into a tomb. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. They were both put into the cavity within the earth. So they both experienced this type of punishment, this type of humiliation. But what was Jesus? What did Jesus say? In John chapter 15, verse 25, what did he say about this? He said, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. They had no reason to hate him, just as Joseph's brothers had no reason to hate him. But he was still hated. They were still despised. They were still humiliated. They were still tortured. They were still beaten. So another similarity. The promise of authority and accusations of delusion here. So in Joseph's dreams, he sees himself and his brothers binding sheaves in the field. Now, his sheaf rises above, stood upright, and his brothers bowed down to him. Now, we know that this story reflects where they would bow down to him eventually. And that comes out in Genesis 37:7, where it talks about that his brothers are going to bow, everyone will bow to him. And we know the story goes where he is in charge with, becomes a high-profile person in Egypt. However, he's over everyone but Pharaoh. His brothers felt threatened because of this translation, because of this dream. They were threatened by his authority that he was betraying. They accused him of being deluded and not in his right mind, not understanding what he was saying. And in the same instance, how was he accepted when he preached the word, when he made the statements that he was the Son of God? They told him also that he was delusional. They mocked him. As we know, when he was crucified, what did they put above the cross? Hail, King of the Jews, in mockery, right? So they thought he was not in his right mind either. If we turn to Matthew chapter 27, we can read that account there. Matthew 27, and there in verse 29. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. This was not out of respect for Jesus. This was out of ridicule. This was just, this was people being bullies in the way we'd use it today. In Mark chapter 3, there in verse 21, we see here where Jesus is basically told that he's out of his mind. Mark chapter 3 and verse 21. says here, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. The things Jesus was speaking, they just couldn't understand. They weren't willing to understand it. And so they labeled him, and without a lack of better terms, they labeled him, just as they did Joseph, as being senile or nuts, because they didn't figure they were speaking of sound mind. But God has a plan, and his plan is going to be seen all the way through. So what else happened with Joseph and Jesus that we can draw a parallel to? Which, speaking of, I failed to mention, there are over 100 different similarities that we can draw between Joseph and Jesus, and I'm not going to cover all 100 of them this afternoon. But moving on to the next one, they were both sold for money. Joseph's brother sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And then Joseph was taken to Egypt. There we see that in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 28. Similarly, we see that Judas asked the chief priest what he will receive if he delivers Jesus. And he sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Almost the same amount of silver. I didn't do the comparison to see if this was exactly the same amount of money, equally, if it was 20 for both or 30 for both. But we've heard the term, you know, what's a life worth, or can you put a price on life? You know, if someone doesn't care about you, they can put a price on life. Both Jesus and Joseph were both treated as commodities. They were objects. They were products that they could sell, that they sold. They were discarded by the people that were supposed to love them and care for them. It's hard to believe, of course, knowing what we know about Jesus from the scriptures, it's hard to believe he was treated that way. And sad to believe it. So, we see they were both sold for money. What else? They were both put into this pit or this tomb, but they were both brought out. They were raised from this earthen vessel, so to speak. After Joseph's brother throws him into the pit, Judas suggests that they sell him and to the Ishmaelites. And then they turn around and they drew him out. We see that in Genesis chapter 37 there in verse 28. They take him out of the pit and sell him. Genesis 37 there in verse 28. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. So in the process of selling him, he is raised from this pit. He is removed. Jesus was raised on the third day, according to scriptures. We see that. We read that. 1 Corinthians 15:4. They were both brought lower than the face of the earth. They were brought into the earth. They were deeper. But they were both delivered by God out of that hole. God used this situation for greater good. They suffered, but he used it for greater good. And not just for the physical deliverance of removing them from the earth. There's a far deeper meaning. So a life of servanthood. They both, Joseph and Jesus Christ, both gave them their lives for the sake of others, to be servants. They were selfless. They denied their self. Joseph was brought down to Egypt and he became a servant in the house of his master, Pharaoh. We see that in Genesis 39, verses 1 through 2. He served diligently. He knew his part. He wasn't going to fight it. And he gave himself for the sake of others. Jesus' ministry, though, characterized by service, the whole thing. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give life as a ransom for many. We see that in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He gave himself. He came to serve. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and there in verse 7. It says, but made himself of no reputation, talking about Jesus here, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He gave himself. He left heaven and came here to be a servant, to serve others. And Joseph, understanding his role for the greater good, did the same. Came and gave up himself for the sake of others. They both, Joseph and Jesus, resisted temptation, but were both falsely accused. Potiphar's wife, we know that story with Joseph very well. Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph to lay with her, and Joseph continually refused. He stood his ground. There in Genesis 39, verses 7 through 12, tells us that part. Jesus lived in a human body while upon this earth. He experienced the hunger and the anger and range of other feelings and emotions that we feel today. He was even tempted in the wilderness. We read that in Matthew chapter 4. He was tempted by Satan with the promise of glory and satisfaction and all these wonderful things. But Jesus never gave in to that. And in, there in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, in all ways he was tempted, he did not sin. Jesus stood his ground. Joseph stood his ground. But yet both were punished because they were falsely accused. Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of harming and mocking her, and so Joseph gets put into prison. And even though he didn't do anything wrong, he's going to suffer this bondage. Jesus died on account of things that he had never done but was accused of. Jesus did nothing wrong, but yet he was crucified. The thing we also look about in this, Joseph was put into prison with two other prisoners. And knowing that story, one we know was saved, the other was lost. Jesus was hung on the cross with two other criminals. And one was saved and one was lost. So great parallels, great similarities here between the two of them when it comes to their temptations, the false accusations, and their imprisonments and their punishments. Both Joseph and Jesus foretold the future. When Pharaoh couldn't figure out and interpret his dreams and none of his servants could do so, Joseph was able to accurately depict what was going to happen. And we know this story from the famine, the 7 years of good years and then 7 years of famine. Joseph was able to interpret that. He was able to interpret what they were about to have to endure. Jesus, we see throughout all Scripture, prophesied many things that came true, was able to foretell the future all the way up to his own crucifixion. In John chapter 13, there in verse 19, Jesus said, I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. He tells them what's going to happen so they can understand when it does happen, they believe in him even more. Both Joseph and Jesus were able to foretell the future through interpretation of dream or just through divine inspiration that Jesus had being deity. They were both great counselors promoted to honor. We remember Joseph, who went into Egypt as a slave, but ended up being Pharaoh's number one man, so to speak. Pharaoh put him in charge of everything except for him. So he was promoted to honor. In Genesis chapter 41, there in verses 39 through 40, we see that story. Genesis 41, verses 39 through 40. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all of this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Not too bad for a slave to end up where he ended up. And then we see Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah will be called a wonderful counselor there in Isaiah 9, 6. The book of Philippians tells us that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. We can see that Jesus was raised to high honor, to glory, even though he was crucified with the criminals. Both Joseph and Jesus provided for people in need. Because of Joseph's ability to interpret Pharaoh's dream, he was able to prepare the people for their land and this great famine that was coming. And in return, he was able to protect and take care of all of the nation. And anyone that came to Egypt, he was able to provide to them the things that they needed. So he provided for the people in need. And we know from many stories of Jesus and the things that he did, after feeding the 5,000, he also said that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Jesus both physically and spiritually provided for those who are in need. My last point for this afternoon. Joseph and Jesus were both not recognized at one point. When Joseph's brothers came to Egypt, they didn't recognize him. They didn't expect him to be there partially. Maybe one reason why they didn't recognize him, but for whatever reason, we see that the Bible tells us that he was not recognized by them. And not until he was ready to let them know did they find out that he was in such a great position. They didn't know him. Genesis 42:8 says that they didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. But we can see that Joseph was sent ahead to preserve life. He was sent ahead to make preservation for life by being in the position he was to control during that famine. Jesus told one of his disciples that there in John chapter 14 and verse 9, he says, "Have I been with you so long and you still not know me?" Jesus wasn't referring to the fact that they didn't recognize him physically. They didn't recognize him spiritually. Many people didn't know who he actually was or understand his purpose. He was not recognized for what he was intended to be recognized for. Jesus appeared and revealed himself to many, many people. Joseph reconciled with his brothers eventually, and we too, if we don't recognize Jesus while walking upon this earth, we will recognize him when we answer when our life on this earth is over. They were all unrecognized, but they will both be recognized greatly. So as a conclusion, when we look at these similarities between Joseph and Jesus, they're not only remarkable when we look at them through our human eyesight, our mortal eyesight, but when we look at them through the spiritual eyesight, God's great sovereignty, his power that he had over so many years apart, but the power he had to give us and control the lessons we learned from this is such a wonderful thing. It should give us all the faith in the world that nothing on this earth is going to be too bad. Because if we ultimately make it to heaven, that's what we're here for. God controlled it all. Are you ready to let God control you? If you're here today and you haven't given into the power of the gospel, it's a wonderful thing. God gave us that also. He gave us the gospel for us to learn from and to study from. Now's the time. Now's the time. It's a wonderful feeling to be added to the church. We talked about the feelings, having actual feelings this morning and letting them control us. it's a wonderful feeling to know that you're part of a God, you're part of God's family. We are very blessed upon this earth. We have God to thank for it. We have Jesus' sacrifice. So if you're ready to thank God for the sacrifice that Christ made for us and the things that God has given us, then we ask you to do it now. We're never guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next minute. But don't leave this building and be on the wrong side of God. We see his power. He has the power to do this. He has the power to save us. Jesus gave himself. He sacrificed for us. Don't let that go to waste. If in any way we can help you, please come while together we stand and while we sing.